We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking today with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler, who is retiring here at the end of January, which is just around the corner. And in fact, his last day will be on Monday. He's chatting with us here on KMAN's In Focus for the final time. And, you know, a lot of the compliments I've heard about you, and I know that this is very important to you, is all of the listening that you've done here. You go to a lot of public meetings, and you try to make sure that you're at as many of them as you can. And I know that started at the very beginning here of your tenure 3 years ago, just trying to get educated on this area as much as you can. Can you talk a little bit about just kind of the importance of getting involved with these meetings and making sure that you knew your communities you were serving?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when you have pretty much a monopoly on something, and in this case, policing in this county, you know, we have a lot of good staff that you can send to these meetings. But I've always tried to make sure people didn't think that I didn't have competent staff or that I was trying to micromanage things. But it's really important to members of our community that they be able to talk to me as the, lack of a better term, the CEO of the organization, so they can personally tell me without any filters or perceptions or anything else what's on their mind. Ask questions. And sometimes I couldn't answer the questions right away, but I always got the answer and got back to them. And I think the fact that, especially if some people feel like they're being underserved or they're not being heard, the ability to ask me and then me give them an answer, again, even if it's not the answer they want, like get an answer, the reasons and the rationale behind that answer, I think goes a long way in trying to strengthen support and understanding between policing and the community. Policing is often misunderstood. People learn what they think policing should be like from things other than real policing. You know, movies, television, social media. And for the most part, the people in this community have been very receptive to me coming out to visit with them and have that relationship, which I just think really does make a positive difference overall in the support that we receive, because we have an amazingly supportive community. I have to tell you a story. I won't tell you where it was, but about, I don't know, a year and a half, almost 2 years into my tenure, I went to one of the rural city council meetings, and I'm usually so busy, I don't get there too early, but I happened to get there early one night. One of the council members was there, and it was just them and I, nobody else had arrived yet. And they said to me, they said, you know, when you came here, you came around and you visited everybody, and you said that we would see you on a regular basis. And she said, I have to admit, I was skeptical. But she said, you proved me wrong, and I couldn't be more happy that you keep coming up here to visit with us and tell us what's happening in the police department and why, and give us an opportunity to ask you questions as well. And that is what I was trying to achieve, and I've always tried to achieve throughout my career as a police chief and a police supervisor, is really listening to people. It kind of goes back to what I said about when I was a young cop and I'd get criticized by my coworkers sometimes for spending too much time with people they thought were a waste of time, and being criticized for that. I just have always felt it was important to do that. It may not be a big deal in the overall scheme of things to some officers, but if it's on their mind and they're concerned about it, then it's a big deal to them, and I should listen to it from that perspective.
Well, I know, and getting to know you here the last 3 years professionally, is that community policing is very important to you. And I didn't live here before your tenure, and I know I hear a lot of folks talk about, you know, things the way they were before, but I'm not really sure because I didn't live here. But has that always been the case here in Riley County Police Department? Has community policing always kind of just been the motto, or is that something that you kind of helped, you know, bring more into the forefront?
Well, you know, we really focus a lot on data-driven policing when it comes to where we police and how long and how often. we have a very lean department. You know, some people may not think that, but we don't have a lot of extra officers to do a robust community policing outreach. But there was community policing going on here, and I don't know if there was a recognition that it was happening already. And what I mean by that is a lot of departments who say we're a community policing organization, they assign specific people to do just that, or they create a community policing unit. And my view of community policing, and there was some of it going on here, and I'll give you some examples, it's an overall philosophy that your organization embraces. And so everybody, whether they're sworn, non-sworn, should be engaged in community policing. I'll give you a simple example. We could go on a call for service and someone could tell us what their concern is. And we learn that a vast majority of it involves another city or county department that we really don't have the authority or the resources to address. Community policing, instead of saying to that person, hey, you need to call so-and-so and tell them what the issue is and then leave, the way I approach it and the way I've shared with some of my staff, and they do this, is even though this is largely another organization's wheelhouse, this issue, I'm going to give them a call and I'm going to ask them to call you. I'll brief them and then you can talk to them. But if you don't hear from them in whatever timeline we said, a few days or a week, I said, you call me back. Here's my number. And I'll try to, you know, get whoever you need to talk to get in touch with you. That takes extra steps, extra effort. I want you to know that's community policing right there. It's not just passing the buck, saying it's not my job, not my responsibility. It's doing, we're one of those few organizations that's open 24/7 that has constant public contact. And so I think it's important for us to be able to do things like that for people so they don't get frustrated and feel like nobody cares or blame the police for something that we don't have a lot of resources to address to begin with. The other thing that they were doing here was the Polar Plunge, raising money for Special Olympics, the Torch Run, again, Special Olympics, Tip a Cop, Special Olympics, Shop with Kids. All of those, you know, are community outreach programs. You know, we bought and outfitted a barbecue trailer so we could go to community events and serve food to people out where they live and have our officers out there in a non-enforcement environment so they can interact with them. National Night Out. Now, that's one thing we did start here that we weren't doing. It's been around for a long, long time, and we just did our third one. Even when we had the lockdown with COVID, we did a drive-through National Night Out. Those things are all community policing. If we really wanted to expand it where we had more officers who were spending significant time in neighborhoods and a non-enforcement presence, that would require the hiring of more police officers to do it that way. We could do more, we could do better, but the community really has to tell us they're willing to pay for that if that's what they want. Otherwise, we're going to continue doing what we're doing and being as creative as we can to carry out community policing. So it's not incompatible with data-driven policing. You can do both, and you can do them both well.
Well, efforts like that, like the National Night Out and these outreach events, I got to imagine whenever you have a serious incident come up, like a major crime that happens and you need help from the community, that probably is a good way of getting people to give you that information that you need. If there's a crime you need help solving, or you're looking for a suspect, and having those relationships probably right up near the top of importance for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I wish I'd thought of saying that, Brandon, because that's a great point. You know, if we have a good relationship in those situations that are non-enforcement especially, I think our citizens are more willing to cooperate and share what they know with us. You know, I'll give you another example, two things that come to mind. When we had last year a murder down on Juliet, I went down there. It was a domestic-related homicide. I went down there, and I don't get to every major crime scene, but I went down, and I had heard when I got there that there was a rumor starting that it was an officer-involved shooting, which wasn't even close to anything like that. and I got on the phone from the scene and I called Mr. Baker over at the Douglas Center. And I just wanted to make sure he knew what had happened. And he was aware of the situation. And I said, well, I want you to know we're hearing some people saying it was officer involved and it's not. And that's not a call that I have to make. I'm not required to make it. But Mr. Baker has a lot of standing down in that part of the community. And I know he would care about how this went down and whether we were involved. And he was very appreciative of the 2 minutes it took me to call him and explain what we were working on. That's another example of community policing. But I also want to mention something that's not directly related to this that I think, I don't know how other citizens feel about this, but I've heard this from some, is, you know how if you're driving your car, you see a police officer, all of a sudden there's a police officer in a car near you where their lights are on. People have a tendency to tense up and think, oh my gosh, you know, what have I done? Are they coming for me? And there's some people in our community, and this is true everywhere, that are afraid when they see the police. I think that's less of an issue here. I think because of how policing is carried out here, the engagement, accountability, the accreditation, consolidation, just how we train our folks to be problem solvers and critical thinkers. When people see police officers here, I don't think they automatically tense up and feel like, you know, that's somebody I should avoid or fear. I think they feel overall comfortable when they see a police officer here. And I don't think that's a common reaction. Now, there could be people calling in who feel completely different, and there's going to be people like that. But overall, I think that's an observation that I've made since I've been here, is I think people really do trust the police department here and feel like they're here to help us. They're not here to oppress us or make us afraid.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, we're going to take our final break here on In Focus. So we'll come back and more with Director Butler in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.